New bill making the rounds in Albany that would pay inmates almost $2,600 in tax money once they get out of prison.
And as you can imagine, the proposed legislation is getting a lot of feedback. Fox News' Morgan McKay talked to those.
I wonder what feedback it's getting from struggling families who can't pay their rent. Because if prisoners are going to get $2,600 checks, shouldn't they?
Tuesday, cops found a torso and arms in a Bronx apartment. Today, police arrested the man who lives there.
I'm innocent.
You see this man? Police say he's been arrested not once, twice, but again and again, at least 47 times.
But right now, there are no limitations on how or where the $2,600 can be spent. This all started when a student walking to school found a left arm. On Monday night, investigators raided the apartment where the defendants were living.
It feels like the devil just crawled through here.
It just helps them give a little breathing room, allow them to focus on their job search, reacclimating to the community.
What does that mean? That means there's more victims in New York City about to happen.
$2,600 checks. Now, on the one hand, proponents say this will stop people from becoming recidivists, reoffending, and going back to prison. But on the other hand, critics say this is just proof that crime pays. But what nobody's talking about is that the idea of paying criminals not to commit crime is already being tried here in New York, and it's not working.
These migrants, whose journey brought them to the United States, now making their way through the American justice system in handcuffs.
The small number of people are breaking the law and having a huge impact on our public safety.
Now, since the asylum crisis started, New York has received almost 180,000 people, the vast majority of which are not criminals and just want a better life for themselves and their families. But that's not everybody. And look at how much money the city spends every single day for each person that it's taken care of. That's over $11,000 per month per person. Everything's paid for, food, shelter, you name it. But for some reason, it's not enough to stop some people, again, a very small number of people, from joining a gang or attacking police officers in broad daylight. Oh, I almost forgot. We've got the debit card program, $13 a day per person. And if all these programs aren't enough to convince people not to continue their lives of crime, it reveals something very frightening, which nobody's talking about, regarding New York City's progressive approach to crime. And while these programs are being debated, we're in the middle of a housing crisis. You've got people living in dilapidated apartments that cost thousands of dollars a month, and $2,600 checks could really help them out. And many of these people have obeyed the law their entire lives. They've never been to jail. They've never even been arrested. And that's why this program isn't going to seem fair to everyone. This here is called the Tombs. It's a local jail, and they're doing some sort of renovation.
If only the city were using these four excavators to build affordable housing.
And by renovation project, I mean total teardown. They're getting rid of this facility.
But what better place to talk about the fairness of a program that's gonna pay people for being incarcerated?
Because in order to understand why some lawmakers think it's a good idea to pay prisoners $2,600 checks, we've gotta put ourselves in the shoes of those people to think about what they go through once they're released from a detention facility.
And we've also got to remember that there are some people who have been very successful after prison, totally reforming and transforming their lives.
And unfortunately, as we'll soon see, people who went to prison, came out, were very successful, and then did something to go right back for some reason.
But the assemblyman who has proposed this legislation is a former convict himself.
Even though some people think all politicians are criminals, Edward Gibbs is a success story. He's 55, and as a teen, he did time for a manslaughter charge. And whether you agree with this program or not, it's being proposed by somebody who's been on the inside and is now on the outside and thinks it could do some good. And for some people, it probably will, but will it be 100% foolproof?
Before we answer that, understand this plan will be very expensive, and it's going to cost $25 million to give these checks out to 11,000 prisoners.
Which is controversial because those 11,000 prisoners are supposed to be released this year, so this would have to be something that happens every year, which is probably unaffordable for New York at this point. Plus, I mean, again, families have to pay their rent every month.
Plus, New York's governor has vetoed measures like this in the past because of how expensive they would be for the state to afford.
But critics say we've got to do something because right now when you walk out of a prison, you get $40 and a Metro card, and that's not enough to help people. That was the same amount of money that they were giving people 50 years ago when it was worth a lot more.
And the governor has countered with a proposal of her own to up that amount to $200.
But advocates of this program think an amount like that's not enough. And the reason for that has to do with things that I never considered. For example, 40% of released prisoners end up in shelters, which means people are ending up on the streets, making them a continued burden to society. But critics would point out that being in the shelter system doesn't necessarily make somebody a criminal. After all, there are right now 65,000 asylum seekers in the city shelters, and most of them are not going to commit any crimes. And what about the idea that someone's past decisions have consequences for the rest of their life? For example, if you do something awful and you get sent to prison, yes, that's part of your punishment, but you've also lost the ability to work for 20 or 30 years. You haven't built a career. You're going to have trouble because of your actions, and that's something you're going to have to live with for the rest of your life. There are people who think that poverty is an acceptable consequence of bad past behavior. And critics also say there's no proof this money's going to stop people from reoffending. And as you're about to see, repeat offenders are a huge problem advocates of programs like this don't want to talk about.
He is the man alleged of committing a particularly heinous and evil crime. 48-year-old Sheldon Johnson, accused of killing a man, Orlando Medina says a tenant called him around 1 a.m.
Someone was bleeding for their life. She says she heard two gunshots.
But Johnson says they have the wrong man.
I'm innocent.
The victim, 44-year-old...
So this is a very sad story. There's a lot to it, and it flies in the face of the idea that some people can be bought off from a life of crime. Because the person involved was a criminal justice reform advocate who had achieved a certain level of fame and notoriety. And had initially looked like somebody that had turned their life around. These are security images taken from the victim's apartment showing the alleged culprit moving in and out of the unit. Here he is wearing a blonde wig. He had several disguises as he came in and out multiple times. And he's one of the people who would qualify for a $2,600 check in this new program.
It feels like the devil just crawled through here.
Johnson is an ex-con who today works as a criminal justice reform advocate, seen here in a Facebook picture he posted with Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg. He served about 25 years behind bars for attempted murder and has a long rap sheet filled with other violent crimes.
So it's important to understand that Sheldon Johnson was in prison for 25 years and he'd previously been arrested for narcotics and robbery charges. But in addition to being a criminal justice reform advocate, some of the things he was advocating for would have actually meant that he would have been released sooner. And now that we can see what has transpired in his life, some people think the things he was advocating for might not be such a good idea. And what's so sad about this is we want to believe everyone deserves a second chance. And we want to believe that the prison system, however awful it may be, does not mean that someone's life is over and ruined forever because they went there. But the serious nature of the accusations against Johnson make us wonder if somebody with a violent past can be trusted if they haven't truly repented for what they've done.
I had a wife, I had family still, my son was growing up. He was hearing stories about my so-called notoriety and
Johnson went on to talk about turning his life around.
Got my GED. I left the gangs alone, which was a benefit for them because, you know, I was what you call an authoritarian. I was a rule guy.
So what's fascinating about this is that he did this long podcast. Now, there are some people who've watched that interview in hindsight and have concluded that this individual wasn't really sorry for what they'd done. Maybe they were sorry for it, but they hadn't in their mind fully decided that they were walking away from that life. These are the conclusions of others. And people are now saying there's a difference between somebody who's repented for what they've done and someone who's been punished for something but really has no intent on changing. And what that means is not all the people who go to prison are going to reoffend. It does mean that that $2,500, $2,600 payment would really help some of the people who've truly reformed. But as alarming as the story of Sheldon Johnson Jr. is, the sad reality is that this sort of thing isn't really that uncommon, as you're about to see. This right here is the Metropolitan Correctional Center, El Chapo, Jeffrey Epstein, Bernie Madoff. And although the worst of the worst get sent to prison like this, we've got other people who are also a terrible menace to society who the city can't figure out how to put behind bars.
You see this man? Police say he's been arrested not once,
twice, but again and again, at least 47 times, for preying on New Yorkers on the streets and inside the city's transit system.
Okay, this is bail reform of the bail reform.
All right, now I realize that this place is closed, it's being renovated, but what type of system do we have where somebody who offends 47 times isn't put somewhere to keep society safe? Worst of all, the actions of this particular person took place on the subway. At least a good number of them. And here we have a rare instance where the police arrested the right man, and the district attorney brought the right charges, but a progressive judge thought locking this person up was the wrong move. And now all we can do is hope that the 48th time this person gets arrested, that they finally end up in a place like this where they can't hurt anybody else.
And so far this year, police arrested Faulkner 6 times, 4 of those for serious crimes. The chief says he is just one example of how repeat offenders slip through a revolving door and add to subway crime.
Everyone does their job, the process works. And when the process works, ultimately, the city is a much safer place, and that's what's driving
for. Okay, not hating on the police, but I'm not really sure what process the chief is talking about that works when it works, because this guy's been arrested 6 times so far this year.
Twice a month for the first 3 months.
And 4 of those arrests were for very serious crimes. But the chief rightly points out that the bigger problem here is New York doesn't punish repeat offenders. And it's almost like criminals here have a get-out-of-jail-free card.
In this case, the Manhattan District Attorney asked for bail to be set at $10,000 cash, but the judge in the case let Faulkner go free.
New Yorkers are tired of this. Okay, bail reform is set.
So what's crazy here is New York has a very progressive, controversial district attorney who in this instance asked the judge for bail, which is surprising to some people, and the judge said, no, I'm just gonna let this person go. They don't need bail. I trust them. And this has critics saying that progressive laws are enough of an issue, but when the judges are even more progressive, things can turn into a mess. The other problem is that judges are forbidden from considering someone's past history when they decide on bail, which essentially means even though this person's been arrested 47 times, each time they appear before a judge, it's like they're a first offender. And since judges can't look at somebody and decide that, hey, this person's a danger to the public, I should set bail, because they're no longer allowed to consider dangerousness, people walk free. Now, I get it. We don't want to live in a place that locks up the innocent, but we also don't want a justice system that victimizes the innocent by letting the guilty go every time they get caught. But when a person can commit 47 separate crimes and they're still walking around out there waiting to strike again, something's wrong.
38 people committed assaults on transit workers. Out of those 38 people, they committed 1,126 crimes in our city.
That's a lot of repeat offenses, and it's especially crazy when you consider that we're just talking about offenses against transit employees. Those are felonies, punishable by up to 7 years in jail. And these 38 people have over 1,000 arrests between them. But the problem is statistics like this have different meanings depending on who's asked to interpret them. For example, a tough on crime critic would say, see, this is proof that people aren't learning lessons and we need to punish them and lock them up. But a bail reform advocate would say, you know what, 38 people, that's not that many. And even though this looks awful, the overall benefit to society is better. They would say that society would be worse off had we come down hard on these people. But how could those 38 people commit so many offenses if they had been locked up? And is it possible that New York City's no consequences environment is what's leading to all of these offenses in the first place?
Now to that wild story concerning the 4 people arrested in connection to the human body parts found on Long Island. They were arrested and then given supervised release. Yeah.
They were charged with hindering prosecution, tampering with physical evidence, and concealing a human corpse.
So concealing a human corpse, let's say in an alley like this, that's not a bail eligible offense in New York?
Is this what happens when the mafia writes your laws?
It's crazy to think that you could be caught in Central Park digging a grave with a shovel and a lantern and nothing would happen to you.
4 defendants walked with GPS monitoring devices. Now, inside their apartment, according to prosecutors, meat cleavers, butcher knives, officials here holding a press conference.
So electronic monitoring of suspects, definitely a good thing. Maybe not as good as having people behind bars because they still have their freedom. They can still do things that are wrong, but at least people are keeping an eye on them.
And since you're not locked up, you're free to roam the streets. You can still earn a living.
But the problem with that is it eliminates the immediate consequence of loss of income from getting arrested.
And that makes it seem like the debate here about paychecks for prisoners has to do with the financial predicament being in prison puts someone in.
It's not a debate over whether or not New York is affordable. It's not a debate over whether
whether or not families deserve $2,600. Of course they do.
One side believes that without money, people will end up back in prison.
But to further complicate things, we've got examples of people who left prison and reformed their lives, and people who went on to be successful and relatively famous, who are now headed right back to jail.
And the other question all this brings up is, if there aren't harsh penalties for crime, what will society do to discourage crime? And to further dissect the argument about how much money is necessary,
if $2,500 does this much good for the world and eliminates this many future criminals, wouldn't $5,000 do twice as much? And if it would, how about $10,000? The question is, at what dollar amount will we have zero criminals in this city? Is there an amount of money that we could pay people to never have any crime again? I'm not so sure about that. What do you think? Let me know. I'll see you in the next video.